How do you feel about Native American sports team names, mascots, and logos, like the Washington Redskins? Are you offended? Do you think they're respectful? Does it depend? We are going to talk with a guest who wrote a piece about how Indian mascots oppress, with Indian in quotes, about this issue and a new study that finds that Native American mascots perpetuate stereotypes of Native Americans. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is John Two Hawks, a speaker, writer, editor for the Native Circle, which is an educational website started to help people learn and unlearn information about the Native culture and history. He recently wrote How Indian Mascots Oppress for the website. He is also a longtime advocate and activist for human and civil rights with a special focus on Native rights. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, before we get into a new study that showed how Indian mascots or Native American mascots perpetuate stereotypes, I wanted to ask you about this recent Washington Post survey that said it found 90% of Native Americans polled were not offended by the Washington Redskins name. What's your reaction to that?
My reaction initially is that the poll is suspect, because as a person who is involved intimately with the Native American community, I don't see that to be the case. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever met anyone in the Native American community who doesn't think that those Native American mascots, especially the Washington football team, shouldn't change their names and lose the mascots. So, yeah, that's the first thing. And the second thing that I feel about it is that regardless of any poll or anybody who may disagree with the idea that a Native American mascot is offensive, what's right is right, regardless of whether or not the majority sees it that way at the time.
Yeah. And so you believe the poll or survey is suspect, but even so, there could be some Native Americans who say, well, no, I'm not offended, but that doesn't really matter.
Yes, it doesn't. And because it's kind of like this. There was a time in this country when African-American people were not allowed to sit forward of a line in buses. And the majority of Americans thought that was okay and thought that was fine. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of members of the African-American community who weren't really keen on bucking the system either at that time. And when Rosa Parks sat down, it made a lot of people unhappy. But what she did was right, and it didn't matter that maybe the majority was not on her side at that time. What she did was right, and that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. So let's move to this recent study. You did not do the study, but it showed how these Native American mascot names and logos, how this perpetuates stereotypes of Native people. It said that it affects how Native Americans are viewed by other people, possibly in subtle and damaging ways. Your thoughts on this study?
Yeah, the first thing I think is important for people to understand what is a stereotype and why is it important not to have them. A stereotype is a sort of oversimplification of an entire ethnic group or racial group or culture and what happens is because of that oversimplification, the people and their very real needs are not addressed, they're not taken seriously. And so that's the reason why, first of all, stereotypes need to be a thing of the past. We need to learn and have a more well-rounded understanding of all ethnic groups. And where it pertains to Native American people, these stereotypes have been around for a very, very long time. And the nuance that is associated with these stereotypes and what it does, how it damages our communities is very profound. Because what it really does is it erases us from the public discourse, because mainstream America, for the most part, believes the stereotype, and the stereotype causes people to believe that Native American either are all dead and gone, or they are all, a figment of the past. They are a relic of the past. They are either that, or they're all locked away, away from the mainstream world on reservations. And it's all these stereotypes that that have an adverse effect on Native people, because the people don't even know that Native people exist, that they could be standing beside them at McDonald's. And because they have a stereotype that, an Indian is supposed to look a certain way or be a certain way, they don't see them. They look right through them, because they don't see that that person is a Native person. And so that's why it's so important for people to understand and unlearn these sort of stereotypes.
Again, I know you didn't do the study, but I'm trying to grasp this concept of seeing a Native American logo on a football helmet, for example, and right. How that's going to perpetuate damaging or negative stereotypes.
Okay, let me address that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Washington football team, which is the most well-known and most current in the conversation about this issue. First of all, the image on the helmet is an image that is very similar to an image that they put on a nickel back in the day.
Yeah.
And they call that the Indian head nickel.
Right.
And that image is, again, a stereotype. Because it's take one image of one Native person and kind of subliminally say, this is what Native people look like. And nothing can be further from the truth. And so that image just by itself is a stereotype. And it's important that people understand that Native people don't look like that. There might be one guy that looks like that. There's a great display at the National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. There are, I think it's something like 500 faces on this wall. And on this wall, these faces range in color from very fair to very dark. They range in eye color from light to brown to black to hazel. They range in their hair color. It's the diversity on that wall is incredible, and right above it, it just simply says all Native Americans. And the message there is the polar opposite of the message on the Washington football team helmet. It tells a story of diversity and tells an authentic story of who Native people are.
And you're not saying the name of the Washington football team, and I understand why, but the name itself is one that Redskins has a very hurtful history. Talk some about the name itself.
Yes, the word itself actually comes from a period of history when there's a terrible bit of history here, but I have to share it in order for people to understand the offensiveness of the word. There was a time in U.S. history when Native people they had bounties on them, and they would pay people to go out and kill Indian people, whether it was a man or a woman or a child. They would get paid for this. And so what happened was when they first began, they would bring in the person they had killed. They would bring their body in on a wagon. Well, that became too difficult because they had to keep digging graves and whatnot. So then, and again, I apologize for this, but this is the true story. So then they began to decapitate them, and they would bring their heads in. And that became a little bit too much to bear for the women who were living in around these trading posts. They didn't want to see that. So then the protocol became to scalp them, to cut the top of their skin off, and that would be the proof that they had done this. And so they would bring these scalps in, and they would have them lying on their wagon alongside their beaver skins, their raccoon skins, their deer skins, and they called these their red skins.
Yeah, and I'm going to hold you there because we do have news coming up from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. But then we will continue talking with John Two Hawks, a speaker, writer, editor for The Native Circle, which is an educational website geared to help people learn and unlearn information about Native culture and history. His recent piece is How Indian Mascots Oppress. So we're talking about that. And we're also getting his reaction to a recent study that shows that Native American mascots perpetuate negative stereotypes. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. A recent Washington Post poll found that 90% of Native Americans polled were not offended by the Redskin name for the Washington Redskins. However, a new study is out that shows that such names, such Native American mascots and logos, do affect how other people perceive Native Americans and perpetuate, the study says, negative and harmful stereotypes. We are talking with our guest about what he thinks, and we are welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you find these Native American mascots and logos offensive? Do you think it's time for these names to be dropped? What do you think of this study, that it perpetuates negative stereotypes? Our guest is John Two Hawks. He is a speaker, writer, editor for The Native Circle. And I mentioned that he recently wrote, but actually it was not so recently, but he does have a piece on that website, How Indian Mascots Oppress. And we are talking with him about that. And so, John, I apologize. You said you wrote this many years ago.
Yeah, in fact, I did. And that's a good point, because I think sometimes people mistakenly think that this is a new issue, when in fact it's not. And from the very beginning, for nearly 100 years, Native people have been speaking out against the use of these negative images and terms used for sports teams, but it's quite honestly, we've been sort of unheard. We've been sort of invisible in the mainstream sort of conversation, and so it may seem like a new issue to some folks, but it is certainly not a new issue to the Native American community.
Yeah. It has been an issue in Wisconsin for decades as well. And in fact,
yeah.
I believe our Department of Public Instruction I don't know if it was a mandate or a strong recommendation that the public schools drop such logos and mascots, but not all have, and it's been an ongoing issue. Why do you suppose that there is such resistance to this?
I think change is hard, first of all. I think no matter what you do, change is always difficult. I also think that people have a perception sometimes that they have this sort of loyalty in a way to their team name, if you will, and to their mascot and things like that, and they have a loyalty to it. And that's hard to it's hard to sort of admit that maybe the thing that you've been loyal to has been something that's been hurtful to somebody else. That's kind of hard to swallow sometimes, I think, for folks. I think that's part of it. There's also folks who make the argument that the mascot or the name that they have is a way to honor Native people. When in fact, you know, my position on that is that no matter what it is, if I say I'm going to honor you with something and you tell me that it's not an honor, well then that should end that discussion right there, because when you tell me it's not an honor, well then it's not an honor. And Native people have been saying for almost 100 years that these things are not in honor. So I think that's part of the reason why people have a hard time. I understand that people, you know, they love their sports teams. They love their, you know, I get that. I understand that. I'm a sports fan myself. But the reality is when we use terms and when we have people dress up in quasi-Indian clothing and dance around or ride a horse with a spear and paint their face with war paint and so-called war paint and do these kinds of things, these are things that are offensive and they are hurtful to Native people. They're hurtful to Native children. I watched my daughter cry one time at a sporting event because of these kinds of things. And, you know, as a parent, that's hard to take, you know, when your own child is hurt by these kinds of things. They're made to not feel proud of who they are. They're made to feel ashamed. They feel like their ethnicity is something to be laughed at or something to be trivialized. And that's where I have my biggest problem is when it hurts our kids.
Let me take a call from Brian, who is driving toward Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead. What do you think?
I think that it's unfortunate that people are focused on what to me would seem a trivial issue. I myself am actually Native American, who tribe is Chippewa Indians, and I feel that it is in no way offensive. I understand the historical aspects that he draws attention to. However, at the same time, to correlate it to something of oppression, like Rosa Parks sitting in the bus, it really seems like a stretch to me. It is something that has to do with the overall mentality of most Americans these days, where they are simply looking to be offended, in my opinion.
What's your response to that, John?
Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that. Perhaps I give a better example, and maybe that will clarify my thoughts on that. There used to be a restaurant chain in the United States called Sambo's.
Yes.
And Sambo's was a restaurant that African-American people were very offended by. They did not like it. But most people didn't get it. They didn't understand what the problem was. As a matter of fact, the story of Little Black Sambo was written in quite an innocent approach, in an innocent context. But the term Sambo was used as a derogatory term to kind of denigrate African-American people. And so when the restaurant began to use this term, it offended African-American people, so much so that eventually the restaurant chain had to fold and close. And so maybe that's a better sort of example. I think that, to me, the idea that sort of it's sort of political correctness run amok, to me, I would have to respectfully disagree with that. I think that I really have my feeling about it is what's so bad about being correct. I don't think it's necessarily political correct. It's just about being correct. And I think it's about the bigger issue is that it's not just about trivialization. It's not just about somebody having their feelings hurt. Because these kinds of images, they perpetuate stereotypes about Native people that have a deeply damaging effect on the culture and the communities. Because of the sort of one-dimensional ideas of who Native people are and how we're perceived by the public, our real issues are not dealt with. They're not taken seriously, and so we end up being left out of the national conversation. We end up being not included in conversations about socioeconomics, about problems with substance abuse. All of these things are connected to this sort of, you know, people think it's just, there's more important issues in Indian country. And yeah, there are, but these important issues are tied to the perceptions that people have of our people. And so, to me, it is very important. It's a very important issue. There was a time when the Irish actually spoke up trying to get Notre Dame to change their moniker. because they thought it was a terribly disparaging to the Irish people. Sadly that didn't happen. But it's not just Native people that are asked, that deserve to, be respected, but this issue is pretty, focused on Native people. I mean, you look at these sports teams, and the pretty much the only ethnic group that's got sports teams named after them are Native Americans.
Well, speaking of I guess the Fighting Irish, Randy in Northern Wisconsin called and said that if we are going to be against names like the Redskins, we need to be against all names with cultural connotations. For example, he says he's Norwegian and doesn't like the Minnesota Vikings. I think he, of course, is being tongue-in-cheek in more ways than one. But as another caller said, what about, the Vikings? Maybe people of Norwegian descent don't want to be associated with the rampaging Viking. What's the difference?
Yeah, I think one difference is that the term Viking is not really an ethnic group. It's more of a profession, if you will, of the Norwegian folks of the old times. That's first. I have friends from Norway, and I've talked to them about this. And the other issue I think is more important is that the Norwegian people here in the United States of America have not endured the oppression that the Native people have. And that is, I think, the more important response to that. But I think that wherever there are, if anybody thinks that a sports team, I don't think a sports team should have a name or a mascot that sort of picks and chooses what it wants to from from a racial group or an ethnic group or a culture group, and uses it to sort of, trivialize them. I don't think that should be done to anybody. That's my view on it, is that I think all people deserve to be respected and to be, treated with, sincerity. And I think all people deserve to be seen in an authentic way and not be one-dimensionalized and stereotyped and kind of painted into a caricature.
Rick in Grafton is with us now. Hi, Rick.
How you doing? How you doing this morning? I'm over 50 years old, and I was born and raised Green Bay, and my ancestors actually, what a term, but were one of the first white people to settle Green Bay, and we lived among the Native Americans, and they actually trusted us to be between them and the English for trade. My point is, for all these years, I didn't think that was a big deal. And your gentleman, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but the respectful way he is doing this versus riding, et cetera, is commendable. But I've changed my mind this morning, and I've changed my mind out of compassion, out of knowing the history of the Native Americans, of what they went through, out of compassion, out of one little way. Why can't we, as Caucasian or people that have built the country from what actually I think the Native Americans had better, show compassion and not have these mascots? Let's show some compassion for humanity, as he said. And respect, and just do this. Just do this change. It's such a cold world. Why can't we do this and show deep respect to them across the country? And I want to go further than that. Let's build a relationship so their poverty isn't where it is, so that they are treated as decent human beings that are our brothers.
All right, Rick, thanks for the call. Our guest's name is John Two Hawks. John, what do you say to that?
Wow, I just think that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. That came straight from the heart, and I just want to say, we say in Lakota, we say Wopila, and that means a big thank you. I want to say that Wopila to that gentleman there. That's all I think Native people that are part of this issue want is that kind of compassion. That's all, just to be heard and to be understood. I think that's really what we're asking for.
Jim in Hayward is with us now. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Morning. Go ahead. What do you think?
Well, yeah, thank you for taking my call, Joy and John. I just wanted to reflect back on my days in high school, and our mascot was the Redmen. And in and of itself, I don't see any problems with the logo or the name Redmen. However, when I think back to those days and the banners and posters that were put together for upcoming athletic competitions against opponents, those posters would depict and take that caricature of our logo, which is appropriate, and it would become very demeaning. They would have pictures of Indians in war bonnets. They sometimes would be holding hatchets with blood dripping off them. They'd have big red noses and that sort of thing. And so back in the day in my youth, I didn't think anything of that. But now, you know, having matured and being into my late 50s and so on, and I look back at that, and I think that's terrible that we would have actually done that. And until this issue and awareness was brought to our attention, you know, our sort of culture doesn't understand that disrespect, but it was extremely disrespectful towards the natives.
And Jim, is that logo for the Hayward area, if that's where you were growing up, that was changed?
Of course, I'm calling from the Hayward area, but that logo, yes, probably changed, I'm going to guess, like 8 or 10 years ago to the Red Hawks. So it now depicts a bird. But yeah, that did not come easily. I mean, there was a lot of strife in the community to get that changed. But when you bring these issues and this awareness to people's attention, you can have these kinds of discussions. You can see how we take something that may be respectful and good and becomes, you know, very much out of hand and disrespectful.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, well, that's very insightful, very insightful. I think that's where you run into the issues is even when the intention is good, even when nobody meant to offend anybody, the problem is bigger than just the idea that we wanted to have a sports team name and a mascot. It's bigger than that because of the history, because of what happened here in North America with the indigenous people and what happened with the oppression and what happened with the media and how they sort of told the story of who Native people were in such a negative way for so long. And I think that, you know, those things are still lingering in the mainstream American culture. And I think, you know, spaghetti westerns with Indians going woo-woo-woo and howl and sort of, you know, those kinds of things are what people have grown up seeing and not really realizing that they've been influenced by those things. And I think that, and that's really the issue, is that it's a bigger issue than just the mascot. It's what's attached to it. It's the history that's attached with it. And like this gentleman so eloquently put it, you know, their name Red Man and their mascot, as he saw it, wasn't in his eyes offensive. But then because of the sort of public perception of who and what Native people are that is so warped by stereotypes that have been around forever, these young kids were painting up signs that were just horribly offensive. And that's where the problem lies. And that's why it's important for these things to change so that we can move out of this conversation and get into a conversation about things that are authentic.
We are talking with John Two Hawks. He's a speaker, writer, editor for the Native Circle. He wrote a piece, How Indian Mascots Oppress, for the website. He wrote it some years ago, but it's up there. And we noticed it after we saw a new study that showed such cultural names and images affect how other people perceive Native Americans. This study says that they perpetuate negative stereotypes of Native Americans. And we're wondering what you think, what questions you have. Do you think that sports teams like the Washington Redskins should drop names like that? Should Indian mascots and logos be dropped? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We're going to check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking about a new study that says Native American mascots perpetuate stereotypes of Native people. Talking with a guest who says that these names and mascots oppress Native Americans. And we wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you offended by Native American sports team logos and mascots and names like the Washington Redskins? Do you think it depends? Do you think some are respectful, others are not? What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is John Two Hawks. He wrote a piece, How Indian Mascots Oppress. It is on the Native Circle website. We've also posted it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. He's a longtime advocate and activist for human and civil rights with a special focus on Native rights. And our lines are full and our Facebook is overflowing. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about this issue, including, here's a different perspective. Gary on Facebook says, the traits that Indian mascots have been adopted to honor represent strength and resilience and perseverance. So I think he's thinking that these are, at least now, respectful and not necessarily the cartoon caricature that our last caller was talking about. Do you agree or disagree, John?
I have to kindly and respectfully disagree with that sentiment. And my reasons are because of what I have witnessed and what I have seen as far as the effects of these kinds of mascots and images. I can tell a story about an 18-year-old high school boy who was going to school in Marquette, Michigan, where they had a Indian mascot, and they were trying to get the mascot changed, and so I was there, and I was sitting on a panel there, and we were talking, and this boy came to the microphone and he cried for 20 minutes straight about how he had suffered directly because of the Indian mascot in his school and how the other kids in the school had treated him. And the things they had said to him, the disparaging remarks, the racial slurs that came out of the use of this mascot. And so, for me, the problem with the idea that these are traits of strength or traits of, you know, the idea that, you know, the warrior and stuff like that is a trait of strength, and it's supposed to be an honor. First of all, there's not even a word for warrior in any native language that I'm aware of. It doesn't even exist. So the whole concept of warrior was pinned on us. And so it's really not a concept that really comes really from our own culture in its authenticity. And I think that the idea of the romanticized sort of noble Indian chief or Indian chieftain or is again another one-dimensional perception of who we are. It's not really who we are, and it certainly isn't who we are today. And it's a relic, and it is a really, quite frankly, a one-dimensional relic of the past. It doesn't even tell the whole story of the past. It only tells a little bit. It only tells a part that is romantic to the eye and romantic to the ear. And that is dangerous, because whenever you take away the sort of the whole story, you take away the parts of the story that are not so romantic, take away the parts that are not so images and ideas of strength and warriorship and all this. When you take those other parts out, the parts where the people were massacred, the parts where the people had everything they had, everything they knew stolen from them and taken. When you take those parts out, you lose the authenticity. You lose the realness of who the people are. And when you lose that, that's when it's okay to do whatever you want to do with those people. And that's where you run into really, I think, danger.
How has this issue affected you personally as a Native American man?
Well, I always tell people I'm a big boy, and I can you know, look the other way. I've been to sporting events, but it's not just at sporting events. I mean, these, you know, people wear their paraphernalia, you know, when they go to Walmart. And, you know, I'll be standing in the line or whatever, and I'll look, turn around, and there's somebody wearing a Chief Wahoo hat, you know, which is one of the most offensive caricatures of Indian people probably there is. And so I don't say anything. I look the other way, and I just kind of just swallow it and just say, okay, whatever, you know. But why should I have to do that? Why should any Native person have to look the other way when offensive imagery is in front of them? Why do we have to live in a world where we have to look the other way and swallow our you know, sense of ourself, and you know, because we don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings, when in fact it's our sense of ourself as being you know, offended in a way, you know. You know, so I mean, that's, you know, for me personally, I've experienced it, you know, all my life. You know, I've experienced the effects of it. And the, you know, when I go to the doctor, I literally had a doctor ask me one time if I lived in a teepee. You know, I mean, he was serious, and I couldn't believe it, because he had this idea of who and what Native people are based on a one-dimensional stereotype. And so what I hope for is really that we can get to a place in America where Native people are not viewed in that one-dimensional way anymore. And really the only way to get there is to get past these stereotypes. And we have to lose them. We have to make the hard choice to sort of put them behind us and take an honest look at who we are as people.
Let's go to Anne in Minocqua next. Hello, Anne.
Hi.
Yes, hello. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I'm deeply offended by the Native mascots. I think that it is entirely unnecessary. It's deeply hurtful. Dr. Stephanie Freiberg has done research that empirically shows the damage to self-esteem of Native children, which is complete. I mean, why would we continue something when we know it's hurting children? In a school that I taught in that had a Native mascot, they had Native American imagery on the floor mats that people walked over, a Native in the center of the gym floor that people ran over. They called their pep club store the Spirit Lodge, which I said equated to calling a spirit store the Tabernacle. And I work with Native kids, and I'm just tired of the hurt and the lack of understanding. And they say chimiglitch in the language of the people I work with for doing this show today.
Mm. Beautiful.
And that means thank you, Anne?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm wondering, John Two Hawks, do you see this shifting? That, you know, another study saying that it perpetuates stereotypes. Do you see this issue shifting? It's been decades.
Yeah, it has. It's in fact, it's been over 80 years, and and I do see it shifting. It's coming. It's going to take time. Unfortunately, I wish we could just flip a switch and it would be over tomorrow. If we could, I still think it would take 50 years for the stereotypes that have been perpetuated by these things to sort of, you know, fade into the past. I do programs sometimes for fourth or fifth grade groups, and here they are in fourth grade, and they already have these stereotypes intact. And I come in there, and they have, you know, they ask me if I live in a teepee, and they put their hand over their mouth and go ooh, and they learn these antics, they learn these sort of images in the media. That's where they learn them. That's how they learn to perceive all cultures, and it's the same with Native culture. And it's sad to me to see young kids not have an authentic idea of of who Native people are. I mean, if an African American came to speak to a fourth grade group, I highly doubt that you'd see a lot of the you wouldn't see a lot of the stereotyping and the racial sort of things that could be offensive. You wouldn't see that now. It just doesn't exist. But for Native people, it's inundated in the kind of the mainstream culture in a way that's sort of subliminal. It's hardly even noticeable, but it's everywhere.
Before we run out of time, I did want to ask you for a brief reaction to San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick and his refusing to stand during the national anthem, saying that he doesn't want to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. What do you think?
First of all, I respect anybody's particular take on, the right to stand and hold your hand over your heart for the national anthem. I understand how people feel and that they're passionate about that. I get that. However, the irony is that flag and what people fought and died for is for Colin Kaepernick's right to kneel during the national anthem because he feels there's things that need to be fixed. So I commend him for making that step and having the courage because it's a sort of a small civil disobedience that could really cost him. I mean, it could cost him sponsorships. It could cost him his job. And he's sticking his neck out because he believes in something. And I commend him for that. What I would hope is that people like Colin Kaepernick and others would also recognize that there are things they can do right within the National Football League. They could address this issue with the Washington football team. They could do something about it. The players have the power. They could really make a change. And so I my hope is that maybe this issue will come to light for especially some of the minority players that play in the NFL, and they maybe might do something about it. I also want to say too that the R word is for a lot of Native people. It's as offensive as the N word is to African American people. It's a very highly, highly toxic term, and I hope that it's the first to go.
Thank you very much for being with us. John Two Hawks is a speaker, writer, and editor for The Native Circle. His piece, How Indian Mascots Oppress, is on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thank you to Nyasia Ellison and to Brianne Shasso for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.